Yeah. It's Friday. Give me that deck of yeah. I do that because I know that if I don't, a lot of you will be saying, where is it, Rome? We need the deck of yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, do you? Yeah. What's up, Rex? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question. Would you, hey, Rex, would you like another deck of yeah? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Come on, Alvin, give it to me. Yeah. All right, now I'm set. Welcome to the show. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, you know Rocket can. Good show. Walk it off on a Friday. You know my opinion on Friday. You know, you got that whole cheesy TGIF, the grind includes Friday. I believe that. Cheesy as hell, but I believe that. But I always enjoy the weekend more knowing we go as hard as we can on a Friday, leave it all out there, let's get it done. And when I say that not just to hear myself talk, I'm looking for you to help me get it done. Call the program, 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on social media at Jim Rome. Rome is not spelled like foam. It's not R-O-A-M, R-O-M-E. There's no H in Rome. Just want to make sure you know how to spell my last name so I can see what it is you want to send me, no matter how good or bad it is. Rome@haveittake.com is the email address. All right, so the interview is set up like this. Oh, looky here. Not only is the big head, James Kelly, back on a Friday, I've got him in hour number one. Normally, we do that in the second hour or even the third hour. James Kelly, big head bets. Because I was not here last week, we didn't have it. He will be by at 9:40. So if you want to get down, you want to get paid, you're waiting on the head, 9:40. Coming up at 10:40 Pacific time, a member of the Baltimore Orioles, Trey Mancini. In hour number three, Milwaukee Bucks head coach, Mike Budenholzer. And it's going to be a wild, wild NBA weekend. So those are the three people I'm going to talk to. I want to remind you I've got an awesome episode of the Jim Rome podcast up right now. F-173 with Andrew Brandt. He breaks down the Packers, Aaron Rodgers situation brilliantly. Friday also includes Alvy's Week That Was. I've got an ATP. And phone lines that are wide bleeping open. 1-800-636-8686. I love this first topic because I love this guy. History was made in Miami last night, and here is the only thing you need to know about that. Udonis Haslam is a legend. That could be the entire take right there. I could walk off on that. Like, that line in and of itself could be the entire take. UD is an absolute legend. One of the best ever. I mean, literally. Truly one of the best to ever do it. When you think of the Miami Heat, there are a lot of things that you can think about. Let's play a little word association. I'm going to hit you with something. You tell me what comes to mind. Miami Heat. LeBron. Wade. Bosh. Shaq. Me personally, I've done this long enough that when I think about the Miami Heat, one of the first guys I think of is Ronnie Cicely. Of course, the good job, good effort kid.
A stunning result here at the American Airlines Arena. The crowd has gone silent.
I love that kid. That kid is not getting nearly enough run. The good job, good effort kid. That's what you want when you're walking off. Coming through the tunnel. Good job, good effort. Also, when I think about the Miami Heat, I think about that fan who shouted, "It wasn't our year," during a finals game that the Heat actually did win.
I can't believe they lost. That's the only thing I'm thinking right now. They were oh so close.
It's okay. They tried.
Let's go Heat.
It wasn't our year.
It wasn't our year. So, for instance, when I bring up the Heat, you might think of all those things, but you better also think about Udonis Haslam, because nobody embodies the Miami Heat more than Haslam. Nobody. Nobody. Maybe Pat Riley. Maybe. But maybe not even him. You see, UD turns 41 next month. This blows my mind how awesome this is. He turns 41 next month. He's in his 18th NBA season. He had not played a single minute the entire year. but that does not mean that he's not a valuable member of the Heat team or this Heat organization. And if you needed any reminder of that, UD and the Heat gave you a great reminder last night. If you didn't see it, I can't wait to tell you what happened. Miami's playing Philadelphia. It's a team they could face in the postseason. So when Eric Spoelstra sent UD into the game with less than a minute left in the first quarter, the reaction from the fans who had been allowed into the building was just awesome. Check this.
Here is, I'm sure this is going to be a surprise to those on hand as he hears it from this crowd, 18-year veteran out of Florida. He has been the guy in the locker room as Pat Riley, among those applauding Udonis Haslam. Such an important player, even though he has not been on the court very much, but he has been so important in terms of the culture of this team over the years.
Very much. Has not been on the court very much. He had not been on the court at all. He hadn't played a single minute all year. And if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you saw the video. Pat Riley was standing and applauding. Pat Riley gave the guy a standing ovation. Everybody was on their feet, including Riley, because Riley knows UD and he knows what he's about. Just so I'm really clear about that, okay? The guy had not played a single second this season. So we're talking about somebody who was born in Miami, went to Miami Senior High School, went undrafted in 2002, played in France, comes back, wins a roster spot with the Heat, and then never left. So let me say that one last time. Nobody embodies the Heat more than UD. The thinking is this might be his final season as a player. That might have been his final home game, so it made sense. You want to get this guy in. You want to make sure, if in fact this is it, that you get him some minutes in the last game at home. And this guy takes the floor for the first time this season, immediately makes an impact. He had a bucket just seconds into stepping onto the floor. Then he takes a charge to start the second quarter. Then he hits a jumper moments later. Doing all this stuff when he hasn't played the entire year and he's 41. Then it got nice. Things got really nice after that because Haslam and Dwight Howard were battling in the paint. Howard throws Haslam to the floor. And if you get the chance to see the clip, it's incredible because UD appears to take a moment on the floor and he's thinking about what he's going to do. He's thinking about what his reaction's going to be. And what he decided to do was wait for the next stoppage in play so he could then set Dwight Howard straight.
And a foul is called on Haslam.
And now Haslam's having words with Dwight Howard. I'm loving this right now. Here we go.
Haslam pointing the finger may have made contact. He talked about his toughness before.
See, first of all, Howard throws him to the ground here. And now here's the words between Haslam. And there's the point. May have been contact. Yeah.
Yep. He's gone. They ejected him.
Let me tell you something. That might have been my single favorite moment of the NBA season. That might have been my single favorite moment ever in the NBA. That's quite possibly my favorite moment in the history of sports. And that's how much I love this guy. It's like he thought for a moment, like, what's the appropriate response? This guy threw me to the floor. He's down there thinking about it. All right, so what's the appropriate response? Oh, I know. Go time. And he went. My man got up in Dwight Howard's face, nose to nose, told him what's up, and based on lip reading, told him to, quote, shut your bleeping mouth or I'm going to shut your bleeping mouth. And then went hands to the face and got ejected. And it was awesome. It was so incredible. No one better than UD. Shut your bleeping mouth or I'm going to shut your bleeping mouth to Dwight Howard. I'm no better guy to say that to than Howard. That's the stuff that most people dream about. I mean, there are lots of people who would pay very, very good money to tell Dwight Howard to shut his bleeping mouth. UD got paid money to tell Dwight Howard to shut his bleeping mouth. I mean, that would be awesome in any game on any night, but doing that when you're playing your first minutes of the entire season? This dude is a legend. My man gets his season debut, he makes it, and he gets ejected a few minutes later. Grand opening, grand closing, thanks for coming. I cannot stress this enough. He was already one of my favorite players in the NBA, one of my all-time favorite players in the association. I actually didn't think that I could respect or admire him any more than I did prior to last night. And then somehow, some way, my man, UD, raises the bar. Check these numbers. 2 shots, 4 points, a rebound, a drawn charge, 2 tees, and an ejection, and he did it in 3 minutes. I'm not even sure it was 3 minutes. Like, I think they had to round it up to get to 3, and all in his first and maybe final action of the entire season. You kidding me about that? What's more awesome than that? Don't bother answering, because the answer is nothing. My guy is averaging a technical a minute for the season. He's averaging an ejection per game for the season. Take that for data.
Take that for data.
Man, what a legend. All of this in his first and only 3 minutes of play this year. You talk about keeping yourself ready to play. Big dog knows. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. He shows up, balls out, gets in a much bigger dude's face, tells him to shut your bleeping mouth, or I'm going to shut your bleeping mouth, and then gets tossed in his first and only game of the season. And you want to know what this guy means to that team and that organization. Check the reaction from everybody as he left the court. Standing ovation, including members of the Heat staff. Members of the staff were standing and applauding. You know Riley had to be fired up. Hell, I was 3,000 miles away, standing and applauding in my living room. I'm literally sitting and applauding the morning after on my radio program, because that is some king bleep right there. King bleep. No wonder Haslam is known as the keeper of the culture. That's the Miami Heat culture right there. We will not get outworked. We will not get out-toughed. We will not be punked. Because that's not just UD being UD. That's about him sending a message. That's a Sixers team that Miami may face in the playoffs. And UD was throwing down a marker. This is who we are. This is how it's going to be. We're not getting punked by anybody, especially you, Philly. No wonder Eric Spoelstra went with this after the game.
That's my favorite moment of the season so far. Just excessive passion, competitiveness, and anger. Just love it. And that's why we roll with UD. The only thing I was waiting for is for him to take his mouthpiece out and throw it at Joey Crawford.
And by the way, he said that as a nod to an all-time great UD moment. I mean, Spoelstra, you could just hear the smile in his voice. Like, I've never heard the guy sound like that. He was all hyped. Bam Adebayo had a reaction as well. His reaction, Bam's, was really quite simple. Quote, "I'm like, this mother bleeper's crazy." End of quote. Such a great quote too, right? Bam said, "I'm like, this mother bleeper's crazy." Yeah, hey, Bam, if by crazy you mean legendary, then yes, I would agree. This dude is crazy. And if you just meant crazy, yeah, crazy like a fox. He knows exactly what he's doing. Haslam is not just some dude showing up and being a wild man. Haslam is showing up and being Haslam. And he's got absolutely no problem with what happened. He's not taking back anything that happened.
You know, it's obviously very physical. You know, Dwight plays the way Dwight plays. And, you know, it was just a conversation between me and him where I just wanted to make it clear that the throwing down and the swinging of the elbows and things like that, you know, I just felt like we should kind of leave that out of the game for tonight. And I think he disagreed. So, like, when he disagreed, I disagreed. And it was a whole bunch of disagreeing. I don't remember what happened. You know, at the end of the day, I am who I am. Hey, I am who I am. I mean, I can't change now. You know what I mean? My stepmom texted me right after the game and said I did the right thing, so I have no doubts in my mind I did the right thing.
Man, you tell me somebody cooler than that guy. You tell me somebody better than that guy. I'm challenging you. Find me somebody better than that guy. Quote, "I am who I am. I can't change now." Hell no, UD. Nor should you. 18 years in, you should not change who you are. And I'm right there with your stepmom. You did do the right thing. You generally do. Even UD knows the significance of that moment from last night.
The plan was to play more minutes and get more rebounds, just so you know. That was, the plan was not to play only 3 minutes and get one rebound. That was not the plan. I was planning on talking way more after the game about my rebound and stats, but it didn't work out like that. If this is the last one, I finished it the only way Udonis Haslam could, with an ejection.
Was that a hint?
I said if. If was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. If, Tim, if.
This dude is so awesome. He is so great. If that's how it ends, then it's the most Udonis Haslam thing ever, ending on an ejection. His words, not mine. I also love that take about the plan was not to go out there and get ejected 3 minutes in. The plan was to go out there, get a bunch of rebounds, talk a bunch of bleep about it after it was over. He didn't go looking to get ejected 3 minutes in. Imagine this guy working all year to stay ready, finally getting that opportunity, and then he got ejected 3 minutes in. And it was awesome. Let me tell you about that. So awesome that if that is his final game, that might be the greatest thing ever. That's Kobe dropping 60 in his final game. That's Peyton Manning walking off on a Super Bowl. Nothing but respect for UD, the bleeping king of Miami. Damn, Rome, you love that guy, huh? Yes. Yes. I thought that was one of the best things ever. UD came on the show before, and I'm not going to lie, ever since he came on this show, I've been trying to get him to come back on the show, and I'm going to continue to try to get him to come back on the show. When he came on, though, he talked about, among other things, Derek Coleman. We had a great conversation about Derek Coleman.
I could tell you a story about him.
Tell me.
It's really quick.
Please.
And it's the most, it's much respect, man, because I never respect the wolves in sheep clothing. I never respect the guys that hide and run and then do something and hide again. I respect the guys that come straight at you front center, and you know they're coming, and you got to deal with the consequences. So it was a game. I was a rookie, and we were in Philly, and I got fouled, but they didn't call it. And then Dwayne got fouled later, and, of course, they called Dwayne's foul. They didn't call my foul. So Dwayne goes to the free throw line, and he's shooting, and I'm sitting next to Derek Coleman at the free throw line. I say, damn, DC, I say, that was kind of hard foul. Did you mean to hit me like that? And he looked at me and said, let me tell you something, young fella. If I meant to hit you like that, you would know it. I say, you know what? Respect.
Good stuff. Good story. I love that. UD. I just thought that was the most awesome thing, if you can't tell already, that he finally got in, and then he got ejected 3 minutes in. 1-800-636-8686. I think that's why I got into this business, to see bleep like that. Here's some reaction for you. And by the way, could it have been any better that it was Dwight Howard that he got ejected for? I mean, that was the perfect guy for him to get into it with. Hey, Rome, glad to see Udonis Haslam getting some run. He used to be one of my favorite players. Regards, Adam and Eve. Stephen Phoenix. Yeah, you know what that'd be like, Steve? That'd be like me saying you used to be one of my favorite emailers. It'd be a big lie. This guy's 41, man. Give him some respect. Dear Jim, UD gave the Heat more in those 3 minutes than I've given them all year. Signed, Washed Iguodala. Brett in Buggahaw sauntering into my prime. That's how he signed that. Sauntering into my prime. I would add to that, parading arrogantly into a prime that's never going to happen. You never were. Has been. Never were. Hey, Jimmy, Udonis Haslam is just an absolute dog on the court. And that's exactly why I can't stand him. Regards, Adam Hawk. Chris in Milwaukee. Jumpman. Haslam is not the only one telling Dwight to shut his damn mouth. Signed, everyone when they hear Dwight singing Smash Mouth. Signed, Seth in Western Mass. More me being an all-star and getting my game in. You're not bad, Seth. All-star is a little strong, but you're not bad. Good to see Western Mass representing. Turn that crap off. Thank you, Albie. All right, so additionally, yeah, I literally just spent 20 minutes on the UD. Udonis Haslam. That's how much I like this guy and what I saw last night. All right, other things. Big Head Bets coming up in 20 minutes. So normally we do not get after it that early. We've got probably the fattest, longest Big Head segment ever. And that's coming up at 9:40. Other things. An update on Johnny Damon. Man, who says you can't just throw money at it and make things go away? He did. Albert Pujols, you know how I always say athletes rarely get to go out on their own terms? I'm not saying that he's going out like this. I am saying if he's going out like this, it's a bad deal for everybody involved. I'll have that story. Also, a wild weekend of NBA action. And that's coming up too. 1-800-636-8686, toll free. And believe it or not, if I can get to it, we'll talk some chicken. Why chicken ever became a thing on this show, I have no idea, but chicken became a thing on this show. All of that still ahead. I mean, somebody pick me up. I can do this with you or without you. I've proven that. I can do this with you or without you. But somebody pick me up. Pick up the phone, make the call, bring something to it, pick me up. I've got a question for you, too, in the meantime. Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so amazing? Well, for one, there is something to be said for a family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not one and the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. That way you can actually see the quality that you're getting right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use just the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. And Old Trapper comes in four amazing flavors. Old Fashioned, classic beef jerky flavor, exceptionally tender, smoky and delicious, teriyaki with the yellow label, and more. Grab any of the four. And remember, it's a cold beer's best friend. Grab and go with a 4-ounce bag or load it up with an 18-ounce bag where there's enough for the entire team. If you don't see it, make sure to ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It's Friday. Come on! And I can't lie, it's been a weird week. It's been a really weird week. And weird is good. But weird because I had those three shows that I'd missed.
Let's get weird.
For a still unexplained absence. Because it says personal. But that hasn't stopped some of you from still trying to figure out what happened. Are you looking for professional level protection for your car's paint, but without the cost that you might pay a professional detailer? New Revolutionary 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating provides exactly that. 12 months of protection with a simple mode of application. You can do it yourself in no time at all. Then it leaves your car's finish with insane levels of shine and depth. Plus, the water beading is crazy. Your car will never look better. It also helps to keep your car looking that way longer, too. The layer of protection helps to repel dust. It fights off water spotting, and it does this by making water shed quickly from the surface and lowering the surface temperature so the water does not end up drying on the paint. Do you see me working? It's also great to use on your car's glass, wheels, and trim. It's available at Advance Auto Parts and Pep Boys locations nationwide, or you can learn more by going to 303radio.com, 303radio.com. So you have that. 1-800-636-8686. The Big Head, James Kelly, joins me in 12 minutes. And we have like 12 matchups we want to go with. It says, hey, Jim, we roll with UD, but not ED. Yours, Bisps. Mike in Buffalo. Hey, Mike, I could try to decode that. In fact, I don't even need to. I know where you're going with that. I'm just not going to say. We roll with UD, but not ED. Yours, Bisps. You believe this guy. Unwar Ritz saying, great year. After the cashier tells him his total is $19.26.
Wasn't our year.
Not Ritt. Ritt's like, great year. Great year. All right, maybe we get a phone call in here. You think that's a good idea or a bad idea? Adam Hawk, you did screen them. All right, let's try one. Let's go to Arizona. And the reason I'm going to Arizona, that's always been a really good state for the jungle. Jim in Arizona. How you doing, Jim?
Hi, Jim. Listen, I'm sorry I didn't get in to talk to you a few days ago when the big discussion about Bob Baffert and whether he cheated or didn't cheat and the Kentucky Derby and all that. But I went to college here in Arizona with Bob, and I've known him for years. I haven't talked to him in about 6 months, but back in the 80s, I did have some horse business with him. And my take is I can guarantee you that he would never, ever do anything to cheat in a horse race. And if he did, he would have done it years ago. The guy's been training for years and years and years. You want to cheat when you want to get to the top, but he's already at the top. So I trust him, and I know that, you know, 40 years ago, it wasn't uncommon for sabotaging to happen in horse racing. And the guys had a pretty clean record up until he has two horses in 3 years that win the Triple Crown. Then all of a sudden, all these things are happening to him, and he's the only one. So whether that's good or bad or who knows, but I'm on his side. And I also want to say that I was an absolute huge fan of Shared Beliefs. I made a lot of money off of that horse. And I'm very sorry that what happened to him happened to him. And the last thing is, there's two ways you can beat Medina Spirit. Number one, you got to take the lead away from him early. Or number two, if you got a big, heavy closer, you got to get on the outside and close as fast as you can before he even knows you're there.
My man, Jim, I appreciate you. Let me just jump in really quickly. Thank you so much for what you just said. He said there are two ways to beat Medina Spirit. Take the lead away. Something about the horse being on the outside. I would add a third way. Put the drugs back in him. Allegedly.
Drug.
My man, Jim, I appreciate you, Jim. But if I were you, and I don't know that you know what social media is or where to find it on your phone, don't go looking for it. I know the clones. They're coming for you. Like, I could even say, now, we were waiting for the split sample to come back. There was the positive test, and then there's a second test that goes out. An independent body will measure that test, and we wait for that to come back. So that's why that horse is running tomorrow at the Preakness. We do not have the split sample. Jim in Arizona is saying, I know Bob Baffert. I went to school with Bob Baffert. He would never cheat. There you have it. Controversy solved. I don't need that sample. I don't need any evidence. I don't need anything. The only evidence I need is my guy Jim in Arizona saying he didn't do it. He would never do it. I knew him in college. He didn't do it, and he would never do it. Well, the problem with that is, Jim, he's actually had 5 positive tests in the past year. How do we explain that? I'm not saying that Bob Baffert did it. I'm not saying that he administered that drug to that horse. And then if you want to get into the minutia of the whole thing with horse people, they will say, Rome, you know this, you're in the game, you know those traces of that particular drug are not nearly enough to get a horse to the wire first in the Derby. I'm not even talking about that. And I also have people in the game saying, look, dude, you know you're in the game, that these rules are unreasonable. Okay, that's fine. Except the rules, right? There are still rules. Anyway, take a short time out. When we come back, the big head. And y'all do what you do with that phone call. The big head, James Kelly, is in. We will talk Preakness. We will talk NBA. We will talk UFC. Hey, Romy, what are we doing here? What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
Regards, like, James Kelly's schedule, like, in hour one instead of hour two.
What are we doing?
What are we doing here, man? Like, what are we doing?
Like, what are we doing?
What are we doing, man?
Like,
seriously.
What am I here for?
My man, Andrew Brandt. Andrew, good job, dude. You gave us such a great soundbite, and I mean that with total respect. We are not in any way making fun of you, dude. I got nothing but mad respect for you, Andrew. That is an awesome, awesome soundbite.
What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
Like, what are we doing?
Andrew, I'm going to get at least 10 years out of that drop.
What are we doing?
Because there are so many different moments that happen where I'm going to say, what are we doing here, man?
What am I doing
What am I doing here?
Like,
what are we doing?
What am I here for?
I don't know. It's kind of like, what's she doing back there? Hey, Ma!
Like, what are we
doing? Meatloaf! I don't know. What's she doing? What is she doing back there?
What are we doing here?
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm going to read this billboard just as it was written because nobody can write them like these people. Quote, this billboard was written inside a space shuttle high above the studio. Can Medina's spirit rocket to victory in Baltimore? It's another big race week, clones. Surf on over to americasbestracing.net. Dennis from Fresno, no help needed. Who is the wise guy horse? Find out at americasbestracing.net. Go, go, go. americasbestracing.net. It's also our best billboard. All right, everybody. Everybody get down. It's back.
Everybody get
He's
down.
Back. The big head with big head bets. What's up, head? How you living?
Man, much better now that Jim in Arizona clarified that Bob Baffert mystery for us, Jim. I'm doing great.
Right? I'm so glad we got to the bottom of that. All right, listen, before we get started, I want a quick thought from you about the space overall. For instance, as more and more states sign off, more and more people are going to jump in and participate. From where I'm sitting, it's actually a beautiful thing. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, it's a fantastic thing. It's only going to get bigger and bigger, and these states are coming around. I believe last check there were 22 states on board and legislation moving forward on all but three states to legalize some sort of sports betting. So as we go forward, it's going to get better and better, and we all have sports books on our phones. So, and I think half the fans realize that this adds to the game and doesn't take away from anything. So all good, man.
Well said. Well said, head. All right, so because of my excused but unexplained absence from the show last Thursday and Friday, and I'm still not saying why, for the record, maybe one day, but not right now. But because of that, we missed one of your segments, and I'm jonesing hard. I missed out on a lot of action because I was not here at the end of the week. Are you ready to make some dough?
Hell freaking yes. Let's do this.
Let's do this. Why don't we start in the association? Clippers v. Rockets. LA is suddenly playing pretty well, and there's no reason that they should not break Houston's face. But knowing they're going to win is one thing. Knowing how much they'll win by is entirely another. Since we rarely play the money line, what is the number you're looking at in this game, and who are you taking?
I have the Clippers at -11.5, and I'm hitting that. The Rockets are sitting their best players, which I'm not sure what that actually means, considering their worst team in the NBA. But even when they had their best, they are an NBA worst as a home dog, Jim. They have only covered 23% in that role this season. The Clippers are coming in on no rest, which they are fire in that role. They are 10-1-1 with no rest against the spread. They need to win this game for seeding. Hold this for a little bit. Make sure Ty Lue's going to play most of his guys, but I'm going L.A. Clippers -11.5.
That made me laugh. Houston is resting its best players, whoever they might be, because they're bad. All right, so Clippers -11.5. Same thing with the Nuggets and Pistons. All right, no way the Pistons win this game, not the way they're playing, and not when they have nothing to play for, and not when you recall that Denver knocked them the hell out the last time they played, and not when the Nuggets have the soon-to-be NBA MVP. So it's not a question of if the Pistons get their asses kicked, but how badly. What is the number you see for this one? How are you leaning?
Denver is favored by 9. The Pistons don't have any reason to win, yes, but they have plenty of reasons to lose here. It's all about the Cade Cunningham ping pong balls, and I'm banking heavily in teams with incentives to lose this weekend and tonight. The Pistons had 9 guys available the other night, and I need more of that tonight, fellas. Denver could run the Clippers down for that 3 spot, so they want to win here. They are also at their best covering in non-conference games, which this is. Let's go Denver, Jim, -9.
Mark it down, clones. Nuggets, -9. Hey, I'll tell you something else, head. You want to talk about somebody who's about to get a bat taken to them? the Oklahoma City Thunder. And you know why that is? Stay with me, clones. I don't want you to get all caught up and bewildered by some of the analytics that I'm about to drop on you. But the reason the Thunder are about to get hammered by the Jazz is because the Thunder are garbage. And the Jazz are legit title contenders. That's why. But it would cost me way too much to play that game straight up to make it interesting. So, what is the line? Which way are you going here?
The line is Utah minus 13.5, and it's moving pretty quick here. It's at Oklahoma City, and again, I'm taking a shot on a massive spread, and I'm going with the Jazz here. There's no other way to put it, Jim. The OKC squad right now, it's straight ass, like straight ass, and I love it. They have prioritized developing their young players for over the past month. They've lost 20 of 21 basketball games, and they have kept losing. They have to keep losing like Detroit does for those ping pong balls. The 13.5 is high for the Jazz. They don't cover at a high rate on the road. That is worrisome. Also, they are banged up, but the Thunder have covered only 33% of their home dogs this season. They are even worse when they have rest. That says a lot about their squad. OKC has to lose. Utah still hasn't clinched the top overall spot. Let's hit the Jazz, minus 13.5, minus 14.
Write that down. You know what I always say, calling a team straight ass is not a take, but they are, so I will allow it. Then you've got the Wizards and Cavs. Normally, I do not give a damn about two sub-500 teams playing late in the season with nothing to play for, but the Wizards, sub-500 and 10th overall in the East, actually do have something to play for, thanks to the play-in tourney, and there's a lot to like about them right now and almost nothing to like about the Cavs. We're looking at another ass-kicking. What is the number? How are you playing it?
So the number is 7.5, minus 7.5 for Washington, and Washington can clinch their play-in game tonight, and they still have room to move up in the playoffs, so I think they will be at their best. The Cavs, they're kind of pissing me off lately. They're actually playing their best players and with some effort, but as an away underdog, Cleveland hasn't showed up all season. They've covered only 29% of their games. Couple that with the fact that they are even worse on one day's rest. The Wizards play fast, and I'm going Wizards, minus 7.5.
That's amazing. You haven't gone for any of the dogs or value plays. All right, then. I agree with you. Let's do something. Let me say something that I haven't said in a long time. Let's talk some NFL. The schedule, of course, dropped this week. I know you love to hit NFL futures before the season starts. How are you handling this? Are you throwing down on a future Super Bowl winner, or are you going to play the over-under on wins?
Right now, I'm going to play the over-under on wins after I saw the schedule. I will play, of course, the Super Bowl odds at some point, but I'm going over and under here, Jim. I've got one team over. I got one under. So
well,
right
who are
now,
they, dude?
The first one is the over is Minnesota at 8.5 wins. I love this bet. I love the Vikings. Their defense struggled badly last season on all levels. This season, they are getting Michael Pierce on the field finally, and they signed Dalvin Tomlinson. That should help stop the run. They're getting healthy linebackers back. Plus, they are getting Danielle Hunter back as well, one of the best pass rushers in the entire NFL. Their back end got some help. They might be average, and at this point, average is good for the Vikings back there. And in offense, they invested in the offensive line. They have weapons. I love the over for the 2021 Vikings here.
All right, so I'm going to keep moving. You must like that. You just spent 5 minutes on it. Come on, head. Keep moving. UFC 262, another good card for Dana White and an absolutely incredible headlining event. My man, Michael Chandler, as you know, he came over from Bellator. He had extreme hype in his first fight with Dana White in UFC. He was spectacular, but he is in tough, really tough against Charles Oliveira. Styles make fights. They're totally different guys. Who do you have here?
Man, this is a mother to call, and the odds reflected. I'm going to go Oliveira as a slight favorite. I didn't want to do it. I could see Michael Chandler knocking him out, but Charles, man, he came into the UFC at a young age. He's gotten weathered, and now he's living up to that massive hype and his potential. He's won 8 fights in a row. He is a damn good fighter, and so is Michael Chandler. I could lose this thing. I mean, it is close, and I want Michael Chandler to win, but Oliveira is just, man, he is incredible lately.
I'm going to acknowledge how amazing Oliveira is. I mean, he is amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm going with my guy, man.
Boxing.
Michael Chandler.
Yep.
And, I don't know. If he can stand straight up and stay upright, He's got this thing, but it's going to be tough, man. If that Absolutely. Thing goes to the mat, look out. All right, so I'm going to go with Chandler. You've got Oliveira. Let's hit the Triple Crown really quickly. The Preakness, not without controversy. As we know, the Kentucky Derby winner, Medina Spirit, is going to be there, even if Bob Baffert is not. He's got another horse in the race, so he's got two. How are you approaching the Preakness?
I'm going with Jim and Arizona's guy, Dr. Baffert, and his other horse that you just said, the second choice, Concert Tour. He didn't run in the Kentucky Derby. His last time out, he ran a disappointing third in the Arkansas Derby, but they are making a jockey change, and they're going with Big Money Mike Smith aboard. He's on the outside. He has more natural speed than Bobby's other horse. I see him out quick in front. The biggest question is if he could hold up at the end in the shortest of the Triple Crown races, Jim. So I like Concert Tour, 5-2 choice here.
All right, so you got the other right. Baffert entry. Right. You understand this. I mean, it's such an amazing ask for these horses, like to run in the Kentucky Derby when they've never run that far, and then to run this thing right back at the Preakness, that is insane. I've never, like, I always Absolutely. Understand why it's set up like that, but it's an amazing ask of these horses to come right back and have something that tough. All right, really quickly, Head, can you reset and run down exactly what you're doing this weekend? Because we all need to get paid.
Yes, Clippers minus 11.5, Nuggets minus 9.5, Jazz minus 13.5, Wizards minus 7.5. Going with favorites all there. Over 8.5 wins for the Vikings, and I didn't get to this one. Under 7.5 on old man Ike's Carolina Panthers. Ike, Tom Hanks this year, buddy. Belly up. They're horrible. Plus, and also minus 130 on Charles Oliveira, and I'm taking Concert Tour to win the Preakness Stakes.
Dude, we have never hit so many different things
Never.
In the Big Head segment. Just so we're clear on that last thing, I got 30 seconds. You did hit the under, and I just got too caught up in you cracking back on Ike. Who's the under?
On the Carolina Panthers. Matt Rhule did an excellent job in year one. I just think the rah-rah stuff wears off in year two, and you better have talent to pick it up. Carolina overall, Ike doesn't have talent. Rough year for you, my friend. Sorry, old man. And you didn't upgrade your offensive line either.
Sorry, old man. Nice job, Big Head. Well done.
Thanks, Jim.
James Kelly. What a great segment. Quote, sorry, old man. That was directed at you, old man Ritt. But he did apologize, though. Sorry, old man. When we come back, I'm wide open at the top of hour number two. Call 1-800-636-8686.